You are listening to مركز الصحابة, the voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected listeners of مركز الصحابة, the voice of أهل السنة والجماعة, we welcome you to this program, الفقه على المذاهب الأربعة, jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. And alhamdulillah, we welcome our listeners of Sirius FM as well. The date today is the 21st of Muharram, 1447, and that is corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 17th of July, 2025. So, still being in the month of the revered months, in Minha Arba'atun Hurum, this is the month of Muharram, alhamdulillah. And we were just now, the other day, we were searching for the moon of Muharram. And now almost it is the last phase. In fact, it is the last phase, but the last few days now of Muharram. And then we will go into the month of Safar, inshallah. So beautiful, when you look at our Islam and our deen of Islam, everything is all in its place. And everything, there is backup, there is evidence for it. So our listeners, you can send in your questions if you have any with regards to nikah as well. The number is 084-786-3132. If you're in a foreign country, +27 84 786 3132. As you see in the world currently, what's happening, and there is major attacks taking place in terms of Syria, as and all these places, you find so many things that is happening. There's a place called, there's the group called Druze. And to understand who are the Druze, you've got to see, you've got to find out. Then we will send you a clip. Just send us a message now. And we'll give you a brief understanding of who are the people of Druze. D-R-U-Z-E. The Druze. And you will know that these people, they are always assisting the IDF and the Israelis. They are always looking to support and protect them as well. So why is this? You may ask this question, that why is this? And it's simple, because they are. It is one coin, just two sides. So the Druze, if you want to know more about them, just send us a message. We will send you more details on that, inshallah. As we see in the world today, if I have to ask you this question, what is, if we just take weapons aside, you know, your military weapons and the rest, what is the biggest weapon that is contained within your body? And that is, you will say, the female's, the mother's womb. This year is a dangerous weapon for the enemies. Why? Because numbers, it counts. And that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of Qiyamah, I will be proud of you when I see you in all these numbers compared to the other ummas and the rest. So this is something that people, Muslims, are also now following the non-Muslims in this, where they tend to say, we'll just have one child or we'll delay it. And the tragedy of this all is, what happens then? The tragedy of it is that you start to bring up your children when you are elderly, and then you lose that relationship with them. And what we find amongst our, when you speak to people of our age or younger, and they're still not married, you ask, but why aren't you married? So they say, no, we're not married because we're living the life. We've got our jobs. We don't have expenses. We do not have to pay for anything. We eat with our parents and everything is paid for. Now you want us to go into this whole difficulty of paying for expenses, looking after family. This year is too much for us. So they say, we don't have any expenses, and they don't want to get married when you speak to the youth. And they're enjoying this life, and it goes into their 30s and the rest. But that's not what Islam wants. Anyway, let's meet with Mufti A.K. Saab, Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab, Hafidhullah. Mufti Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa razaidkan. Jazakallahu khairan.
Today our topic is on nikah, and Mufti Saab, from Quran Sharif and Ahadith Mubarakah, what is the definition of nikah?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem, amma ba'd, All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Habibuna Mustafa Rahmatul Lil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. First and foremost, let's just do some news items quickly. You see there with the Trump and Epstein. So now Trump is it's a hoax. All this is a hoax. So Elon Musk asked him, it's a hoax. Then how come that Epstein committed suicide according to you all? We say somebody put him away, either the Clinton camp or either the Trump camp. GOP means the Grand Old Party. That's the real name of the Republican Party. So that's one. Second one, he said, and one is that lady that Maxwell, what was she doing in jail, you know, for 20 years and so forth. So it's a very big story, and now his own party is turning against him and make America great again, MAGA. They're burning all that caps and all these things of theirs, you see. So this is humiliation of the highest order. Second, the Harami, Jutla, Zionists. Now yesterday, they attacked Syria. Why? They say, no, that we want to protect the rights of the Druze. Druze are Pakka Shias, the worst type of Shias. Pakka Kafir, 100%. So it's just a bahana excuse to attack Syria because certain things Syria is not agreeing with them. They want the whole world to become their slaves, like, you know. And then you see these three countries. Always, I told you that these people are Pakka Murtad, Munafiqeen, and Ghaddarin. So Jordan is a chamcha, is a small one. And then you got Emirates and Saudi. So these three, if they come to know that you're living in their country and you're assisting Hamas, you're assisting Gaza, they lock you up and arrest you. But if you help Israel, they'll praise you. So I want to ask you, you think these people are Muslim? So personally, you understood, I will feel very, very shy ever to travel with Emirates and all these things there, you understood? So I'm not saying passing a fatwa, I'm speaking of my personal self. Meri ghirat, meri zamir, you understand? My heart, my conscience won't accept it, you understood? Rather, I won't go, but to travel with these people here and assist them. And then yesterday, this morning, we made a big noise about Sahuk sent out their latest communication and so forth. So it seems the operators won't have much say in Sahuk. So it depends how good you are. So when I was there last week in P.E. Utenheg, so this brother, mashallah, he came to me. I know them for past 20, 30, 40 years, you know. So long time ago, I knew his father, everybody. Adam Mota, he passed away, Haji Adam, you know, Jiva. So anyway, Allah grant him Jannat al-Firdaus. So Haji Shukri, I don't know if you read that letter he wrote, you see. So 300,000 per person. And then they made him pay again. The transport was paid, but he had to pay again there. Then for his son, again he had to pay and all this. He says that the agreement was special services, but they put him there in the non-special service. By the time you look at it, it looks like for the three of them, he paid almost million rand. You understood? So I mean, now, how you justify these things here? You must remember something you can never ever understand, think about and so forth and so on. So I told him, you know what? That, and he told me, he wrote Sahuk a letter and never mind respond to it, they never acknowledge it, you understood? So I told him, Shukri, you know what? That somebody has to expose all this here. It's a rot from the top, just like the South African government, you know. So the rot goes on from the top to the bottom, you know. So somebody has to speak, but make sure you put your name, you put your email, everything. So he did it and we sent it out. So, I mean, we can't allow people just to rip off people like this, you know. So Islam doesn't allow that. Wherever there is justice, we must stand for justice. So we don't have to worry what people say. What is the truth has to be told, you know. And then yesterday, mashallah, I don't know if you heard, that when I was coming out there from Hazrat Mufti Zahul Haq Sahib, then mashallah, that Fatawa Darul Zakariya, 9 volumes, long time now, the 10th volume just came out. So mashallah, they gave me a copy, Allah Ta'ala reward our Hazrat. So very nice, I was just paging through it. So 10 volumes already, you know, of Fatawa Darul Zakariya. So very good, mashallah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Whenever I have to perform a nikah, you know, so now they told me I must perform a nikah there, you understood, in Vellum, now in this tour year. So I told them, okay, we've got no problem, we'll perform it, whatever it is. So the thing here is this, that what happens is, That first thing I asked, that what will be the definition of nikah? So the best we go to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. He was, whether we like, don't like, the truth has to be spoken. As far as the Arabic language goes, you see, the linguistic point of view, a master of the Arabic language, he was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Like he was from Sahaba, Kana Afsah al-Nas, like, you know, one of the most eloquent and, you know, fluent and master in prose and poetry and all that. So they asked him, Madha nikahu ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. So he mentioned these phrases and he ended each one with a ra, with a re. Sururu shaharin, 1 month's happiness. You see, the husband go out of his way to please his wife. The wife tries her best, you see. So 1 month's happiness. Waluzumu maharin, you must pay the mahar, you know. So always we tell people, try and pay the mahar cash, you know. Don't defer it and delay and postpone it and so forth and so on. Then, because you must remember, you got more experience than me. You got so many 4 children, mashallah. So now you got sururu shaharin, waluzumu daharin. Then, now you're alone. Then you get a wife. Now you got responsibility. Then after 1 year, 2 years, a child, children come. Waghumumu daharin. You see that? So now you see all the responsibilities, all that now increasing, increasing and all that. So that is ghumumu daharin. Then wakusuru zaharin. I told you in Memon, the nice word is vako varivyo. Now you go hunchback, like you see, that is in ruku almost a person. It's getting finished now, you see, because now he was a husband, then he became a father, then after 20, 30 years, he became a grandfather, you see. So now finished, now he said, hey. Then after ruku, then he says, da and khalas. Sururu shaharin, waluzumu maharin, waghumumu daharin, wakusuru zaharin, wanuzulu qabrin. And then we have to bury you, put you in the grave. That is the definition Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu made of nikah. What a beautiful definition. Today I heard you speaking something about nikah and all these things here. So remember, in a case like this, you will say that you must remember that what is the vital ingredients of nikah? The most important one, iman. After that is taqwa. Therefore, when you perform the nikah, I perform nikah, anybody performs, watch ayat we read. Ya ayyuhan nasu taqoo rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsi wahida. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. So every verse that is read, you must remember, has to do with taqwa and true piety. And remember that has to do with Allah consciousness and so forth and so on. So that is what we must realize and what we must know and so forth and so on. So that is what we should do. And so today people like to blame somebody else, you know. Husband will blame his wife, wife will blame husband, then they'll blame in-laws, blame this one. Very few people in life are prepared to blame themselves. So now when you look at selection of spouse, we're speaking generally. So whether it's Indian Muslim or Arab Muslim or white Muslim or African Muslim or Chinese Muslim or whatever, we speak of majority. When the man has to look, his only idea is Jamal. I must look at this wife. Ketri Supari, Sari Lageti. You see, Memon, they say that how smart she looks, how gorgeous she is, how attractive she is, how beautiful she is, you see. So you must remember that. And then when you come to the woman family and the wife-to-be or the, her parents, the biggest worry is wealth. You understand? How will this guy support my daughter and so forth and so on? You see that? That not like us now. We got married. We never had money for mahar, right? You understood? My father asked me, you got money for me? I said, no. So he gave me money. So this type of things. So like that it is. So today you say, he'll kick you out, they'll throw you out of the house. Come here without, you don't have money for mahar. So they took you to get married. So like that, you see, it is. So these are the biggest problems, we can say, why marriages then end up in disaster. Selection of spouse is not right. There's hardly any taqwa left there. The niyat from the start, innamal amalu bin niyat. So that was wrong. You understood? Oh, good time to look for iman and deen and akhlaq and all the income must be halal. We're going to consume halal and so. Who looks at that? You find 10%, 20% in this day and this age, you'll be lucky in a Muslim ummah. Across the board we're speaking about. So that are the things that we need to. So we have to address it and redress it, and therefore we have these programs.
Mufti Saab, when it comes to nikah, there is a question here. Mufti Saab, must I take the question?
Yeah. Whatever questions you've got, ask, no problem. Do you remember kiss? In marriage, we're discussing nikah, so kiss is the right term to use. Remember kiss, keep it short and sweet. Don't like long, long stories. We don't like long, long stories. So they say brevity is the essence of speech, you know? So khairul kalam ma qalla wa dalla. Keep it short and sweet, please.
Mufti Saab, how do you keep in contact with someone you've lost contact with and you've wronged? How do you make amends?
Anybody want to send questions, you're welcome to send questions now. You still got time. 084-786-3132. So you were not good with your mother-in-law. You were not good with your parents. You were not good with your siblings. And now he or she passed away. So now you're feeling guilty. So what must you do? So in the hadith it is mentioned also that dua with the tasadduq and so forth, that you should make a lot of dua, take the name of that person. Your mother-in-law, her name was Halima, her name was Jamila, her name was Fatima, Zainab, does that. Ya Allah, forgive her, Ya Allah, my mother-in-law. Forgive my mother, forgive my parents, forgive this one. So you take their name and you make dua to Allah. Ya Allah, forgive them, elevate their rank and status. Read, therefore I always tell you all these two verses of the Noble Quran, every Muslim should by heart and memorize. Surah 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 41. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Oh beloved Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents and the believers, the day the reckoning is established. So remember a dua like that, so beautiful, powerful, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua. So Ya Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents, forgive the believers. And everybody will come in from Nabi Adam alayhi salam's time right till the last child to be born till the day of Qiyamah. Yawma yaqumul hisab, the day of reckoning and hisab is established. So it's a beautiful, powerful dua. Allah Ta'ala says for Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi sallam, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That indeed in Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam you have Uswa Hasana, a beautiful example. And in Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمِ. In Nabi Ibrahim Khalilullah also you have a wonderful, noble example. One is Habibullah Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was, he is, he will always be the most beloved, the most precious, the best of the best of the best of Allah's creation is Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then comes Khalilullah. You see that? Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So therefore we must know all these things here. And you read their dua, chapter 6, you see, Surah An'am, verse number 90. Allah mentioned 25 prophets and messengers in the Noble Quran. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهِ فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِي. Allah guided them, selected them, you must follow in their footsteps, in their path. You see that? So the second dua, you should learn and read and by heart and teach your children, grandchildren, students. Chapter 59, so that is Surah Hashr. In the 28th Supara, 28 Juz, verse number 10, Surah Hashr, verse 10, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَالْإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Oh, beloved Allah, forgive us and forgive our brothers, sisters who passed away before us with Iman. And then the second part is for the people who are living. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّا غِلَّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفُ رَحِيمٌ. Ya Allah, do not place in our hearts the malice, the rancor, the hatred for the people who possess Iman. رَبَّنَا, O our sustainer, nourisher, إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفُ رَحِيمٌ. Verily, you are the one that is most compassionate, very, very merciful. So that is what we should do and we should learn and charity on their behalf. Give out 5 rand, 2 rand, 1 rand. Give out food, give out biscuits, anything that is halal to the poor people. Ya Allah, the charity is, I'm giving it out, but send the sawab to that person there. So in that way, we fulfill, try and fulfill hukuk de'ada, our shortcoming, our weaknesses, that we didn't ask them for forgiveness while they're alive, but you are Arhamur Rahimin, Ya Allah. So in that way there, forgive us, forgive them, and in that way, insha'Allah al-Aziz, Allah Ta'ala will forgive them, insha'Allah, and forgive us as well.
Mufti Sahab, the next question also has to deal with in-laws, but just a different dimension. How can one handle overly controlling in-laws who micromanage things, like telling you when to switch off your geyser and constantly monitoring everything you and your husband do, and also indirectly teaching your children to disrespect you?
So you see, again, when you get married, so it's not that the boy just comes and looks at you and then he proposes. You have to do your homework, that how is this boy? Then how is the family? Are they very dominating? Are they very, very generous? Are they very, very stingy? That you try to find out from people who are close to them, and so forth and so on. So now let's say that these are all the problems you highlighted, that they want everything their way, that when you must switch off the geyser, when you must on the geyser, when you must do this, when you must do that, all that. So you, as a daughter-in-law, you don't have to worry what they say. You have to cement your relationship with your husband. You have to win over your husband. And then you must tell your husband, you know what, with respect, tell your mother, father, whoever it is, they mustn't interfere in our marriage. It's our life and this life. Me, I can't remember when last I switched off the geyser. In our house, we never switch off the geyser. You understood? So there's only two of us, but we never switch off the geyser. So the geyser is on right through. So you must remember these type of things here. Now you look for problems like that, and then, oh, switch off the geyser, do this, do this. I know one couple, it ended in divorce. It ended in divorce, you know, and this. So they say, why? I asked them, but for what you let so much tamal? They say, no, that my father-in-law, mother-in-law used to count how much toilet paper I use. Understood? I said, no, how can they? So you don't know how people are. They say, no, you're using too much toilet paper and dust and all this type of thing. I say, we stayed 6-7 years there in Pakistan. We never used toilet paper. You understand? We never even knew what is toilet paper. You just use your fingers and hands and finish and tar. You must remember that. So what toilet paper? The toilet don't have place for toilet paper also. You must remember that. You know, hostel way with toilet paper. Yeah, you guys get all the Karachi and all the nothing like that. So you just go to toilet and finish up your job and come out. Finish it. You will just make sure you do good job, you know, and use the water properly and so forth and so on. So like that it is. So people become really petty. So you must win over your husband. So how are you going to win over your husband? You will win over your husband, say, make abundant khidmat. Win him over, you see, and he must then become that on your side. And once both of you are on the same page, then you can tell them with respect. You don't have to shout and scream. They are your parents in that way. So you must remember that you tell them that, you know, this is now, it's overreaching now. You all want to control our lives like this, isn't it? So they want to know when the husband and wife were busy. You see that? So now they were busy last night, so put on the geyser. When you're not busy, then put on the geyser. What that got to do with you? Not your business. You must remember that. So sometimes the mother-in-law, father-in-law poke their nose too much in the son-in-law, daughter-in-law's business. Sometimes they also, the son-in-law, daughter-in-law poke their business nose in their business also. Love and let love. You understand? So don't be so petty. My beloved mother, till today I take a name, I cry. You understand? How we can never forget? But I myself, you understood? I would tell her, Ummi, this, you're not right. You understand? This, you're not right. You must remember. With love and respect. So let us agree to disagree. You understood? And this type of things. Yeah. But it don't mean that you disrespect. You do it with love and all that. But our teachers, our beloved teachers, you must remember that. Yesterday I told one student there. You understood? He came after Isha. He said, I want to ask you a question. I said, yeah, ask. I said, you got so many ustads. He asked them what you ask. He said, no, I want to ask. I said, all right, ask. So you ask one, two things. So I told him, see, that whatever the teacher says, الرأس والعين. We must love them, respect them. But سب کچھ ہضم مت کرنا. You don't just swallow everything. It's not wahi what they're saying, everything. You see that? Certain things are their right. It's their opinion. You don't mean now in every opinion you have to just agree. So you can differ also. But the respect must be there. You must remember. That is of paramount importance. So life is like that, you must remember. I told you 100 times the story. Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, they asked him, who's Malik? He said, Malik wa ustadi wa shayn, ustad, wa najmun, is a star. And they asked him, you love him? He said, wa habibi. They said, but you wrote a whole book against him. I don't agree with Imam Malik on this issue. I don't agree. He said, of course. I love Imam Malik and I love the truth. And I love the truth more than I love Imam Malik. See, that are akabir. These are our imams. These are the giants. You must remember that. So then I was telling him, they were a imma arba. You see, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, that's a chronological order. Now these characters, Salafis, they want to bring their imma arba. Sheikh Yusuf Qardawi, Sheikh bin Baz, Sheikh Usaymin, Sheikh Albani. I made all four with Allah's help. You see that? So we spoke to all of them, mashallah, like that. Now I'm asking you just a simple question. Is there any comparison between these four and those that four there who came those days? Can you compare them?
No.
Obviously you can't compare. Al-farqu bayna Sara wa Suraya. Zameen Asman ka farq hai. You must remember that. So between the heavens and the earth the difference is. You must remember this kind of thing. So it's foolish of people, Salafis or anybody else. You leave those four and then you start following these four. I mean, it's foolishness that. So that is what we must understand, this thing. We respect them. We read their books. But it don't mean we agree everything with it. So that is how life is, you must remember.
Mufti Sahab, my nephew went to see a girl. She was happy with him. But her parents are not happy as they are from high society. The nephew is quite upset as they seem to like each other. Should they elope? Is this allowed as the parents are not permitting the union?
So let's get the question right first of all. So the boy seems to like the girl and the girl seems to like the boy. But the girl's parents are objecting. Is that the question?
She.
Right. So the girl's parents object. So when the girl's parents object, now we must see why are they objecting. So if they are objecting because, to use your word, they belong to the higher strata of society. What you said, higher? Class, whatever he said. So what he said, there was a nice word he used there?
Higher society, high society.
Yeah, they belong to the high. You call it the higher strata of society. Humbi heko, you know. On the one cover, it was written there, Me samja me aham tu, lekin ye wa hamta. You understand? I used to think I'm a very important person. After that, then we realized it was just a big dream. And just understand our own waham, you know. All suspicion and all the doubt of ours and all that. Anyway, so this type of thing. So my advice to you will be threefold. Number one is this. If they really are dead against you, then you must remember, just forget it. There are many fish in the sea. You understood? They're looking down upon you because of your language, because of your income. You're a Maulana, for example. Now, they don't interested in the Maulana story. You get people like that. So why go and just forget and carry on, you understood, in life. Second one is this. You feel that, no, they are reasonable people. So maybe you go and speak to the girl's chacha, kaka, mama, you understand? That girl's father's brother, that lady, her mother's brother. And maybe you can break, go through to them and speak to them and so forth and so on. Or if they got some contact, most of the time it happens like this, they have contact with some alim and some maulana, some sheikh, whatever. So you can go speak to them, they can put in a good word for you, make safari for you, intercede for you. So like that it will be. But to be honest, the best thing is when it happens like this, you know, then this pride and arrogance will become a big problem even in future life. You understood? The smallest thing go wrong, they'll throw it back in the daughter's face. We told you that this guy is not the right guy for you, you know. The Islamically, that's not a valid ground. You must remember that. Say, no, we belong to the upper class and this. Islam says that surah, listen to the surah. Surah 49, verse 13, 1-3, Surah Hujurat, ulama call it Surah Akhlaq. Ya ayyuhan nas, O humankind, O people, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa unsa. We created you from one male and one female, Adam and Eve, Nabi Adam alayhi salam, and Sayyidah Hawa radiallahu anha. Then, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلًا. We made you into the nations and tribes. You see, this one, this one, this one. I speak Meman, you speak Urdu, that one speak Gujarati, that one speak Chinese, that one speak Zulu, that one speak this. So, million languages, they are what we know, how many languages. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ and dialects and so. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلًا لِتَعَارَفُوا. So that you recognize one another. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. And verily the most noble of you are those who have the greatest taqwa and the greatest piety. You see, that is Quran. Open this hadith in Tirmidhi and see how it applies in this scenario, this question. قَوَلَ النَّبِيُّ الْمُصْطَفَى صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ هِي حَبِيبُنَا مُصْطَفَى رَحْمَةُ لِلْعَالَمِينَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ said, إِذَا خَطَبَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِمَّنْ تَرْدَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ. That when you propose to, when you are now proposing for that lady, you the girl's family, you are happy. دِينَهُ, what is Islam, is not Shia, Qadiani, Agahani, all that. وَخُلُقَهُ, and his character and manners and so forth. فَزَوْوِجُ, get your daughter, sister, niece married to him. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ, and if you don't do that, تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيثٌ, then there will be mayhem, chaos, and so forth. And the last part of the question you ask, can we now elope and do all that? All that is haram. وَلَامْ Allah. When Allah wants to mention something paramount importance, then Allah mentions the masculine separately and the feminine separately. وَلَامْ مُتَّخِذِينَ أَخْدَانٌ وَلَامْ مُتَّخِذَاتِ أَخْدَانٌ. So Allah Ta'ala says, that you are not allowed to take girlfriend and mistress and all these type of things there. And you, the women, you're not allowed to have boyfriend and sugar daddy. They call them sugar daddy nowadays, you see. You keep on putting sugar. You know what I mean? You're giving money all the time. So all this guy, sometimes money and sometimes money also. So then, so wala muttakhidati akhdan. So that is the, see again, Surah 24, Surah Nur. Siddiqa said, Aisha radiallahu anhu says, Allimu nisaakum surat an-nur. Teach them. Surah 24, Surah Nur, verses 30, 31. Allah mentions for us, the men, for Mozaid, for me, Suleiman, whoever. Qul lil mu'mineena yahuddu min absarim. Lower your gazes. Wa yahfadu furujah. Who's going to lower the gazes today? Just see, everywhere you see something. In the masjid also today you see. How? So see, you must remember, guys are busy with their cell phone. And in the cell phone, they'll be looking at the woman. Inside the masjid. So how many times you see all this? So remember this kind of thing. And for you, woman, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْدُدْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. We have to protect our privates. You see that? And yesterday we sent out the dua, Allahumma hassin farji. O Almighty Allah, Jalla wa'ala, they protect our private part and so on and so on. So inshaAllah, if we do that, then Allah's help will always come. We must remember this kind of thing. Make mashura, make istikhara, never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Ask Allah for khair always, brother.
Mufti Saab, a question with regards to proposals. Is it wrong for the female side, for, from the woman's side, to go and approach a particular boy or a future spouse?
What's wrong with that? Nothing wrong with that. So you must remember, Quran speaks of that. Go read Surah 28 and verses 25, 26, 27 and all that. So you will see that Nabi Musa alayhi salam left Egypt, came to Madian. And now, he didn't know anybody. Like how we went to Russia and China, who we knew? We didn't know anybody. So you just go and bismillah, you see that? So he made dua. Chapter, today we're leaving for Durban, inshallah. So when we're about to land and all that, when we read this dua. Chapter 28, verse 24, you see? Allah Ta'ala says, that Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Ya Allah, whatever goodness you're going to send down, we faqir, we muhtaj, we dependent on it, Ya Allah. Send it, Ya Allah, we need it, you see that? So Nabi Musa, I need boarding, I need lodging, boarding, lodging, all that I need, Ya Rab. So he made this dua, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam. So Surah 28, verse 24. Then the two ladies were there. He helped them with the water. They went away early. They told the father. They told father, employ him. Istajirhu, Ya Abad, istajirhu. Oh, beloved father, honorable father. Father is a Nabi, Shu'aib alayhi salam, Khatibul Anbiya, the orator of the prophets. Say what, employ him. There's small thing there. Inni uridu an unkihaka ihidabdatayya hatin. I want you, Musa alayhi salam, you must get married to these two daughters. You must choose which one you're going to get married to. Mm. So the proposal came from whose side? From the woman's side. Mm. So the lady's father. And these are not ordinary people. These are the greatest people, Anbiya. Chapter 28 and verse 27. 28, all is there. So easy reference is chapter 28, verse 27, 28. And then Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha, how she married Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't propose. She proposed to Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was so impressed with the akhlaq kareema, with the integrity, honesty, and all that you must remember, and what the other people were saying. So these are the greatest people. Then Sayyidah Hafsa radiallahu anha. Didn't Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu go to Sayyidina Bakr and you get married to my daughter? Didn't he go, you must remember, to Sayyidina Usman and marry my daughter? And they all made golmol story this way, that way. He was upset. You see, I'm telling you, you'll give me stories here, you see. Then Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my papa got married. Then both of them came, one by one. They said, Ya Amir, Ya Umar, we know you were displeased, but we know and we knew that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made ishara that he wants to get married. So therefore, we didn't get married to your daughter. You see? So otherwise, Sayyidina Umar, he took the initiative and said, so our Indian society, you see, this is where we bring in culture and then we say that that is Islam. You see? In our memory, even in the Surtis Gujarati, and that is like that today. If the lady side propose, you'll tell me, Bhatu Koro Kariye Tuta Paja Nakke Kapi Vajye. You have cut our whole nose to pieces. See, that is jahalat, is ignorance that. That is not deen. That is you giving your custom, tradition, preference over what deen teaches us. You see? So Sahaba, they should get married quick. You must, they shouldn't invite Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sometime. So we must remember this. Abdul Rahman bin Auf got married, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not invited. Jabir bin Abdullah got married in Medina, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not invited. So today, if people don't invite me, we don't want to speak to the guy for 1 week, 1 month. I say, get dacho charivyo. It's nice words, this. You see, my face is pulled up, you see, and this type of thing. So in Islam, there's no justification for these things, yeah. So in Islam, 100%, not only permissible, it's encouraged to do so. You know? So to remain spinster, to remain unmarried and all that, Allah asabu shaitan, hadith in Musnad Ahmad, you become shaitan, you don't get married. Abdullah the Mas'ud used to say, his wife passed away, for example. Now, he's alone. He say, even if Allah tells me today is 21st Muharram, I'll give you an example. 30th Muharram, I, Abdullah, you're going to die and pass away. And then there's 10 days, I'll still get married. Abdullah ibn Masood used to say. If you want reference, go open Sayyid Sabiq's book, Fiqh Sunnah, you'll find it there. So you must remember with the fear of falling into fitna. That is Khairul Qurun time, by. You understand? What about now? Everywhere you go is fitna. You must remember this type of things. Yeah.
Mufti Sahib, in Islam, is there something like Gujarati and Yumeman and we can't get married across the groups?
But again, it's this. I didn't marry a Yumeman. Understand? So my wife is, I'm 100% Yumeman. 100%. Pakko Yumeman. So people ask, wife, I say they are sorted buskers. They tell me the Yumeman, but speak Gujarati. So now what kind is that now? But it never interfered with our life, with Allah's help, you understood? So, you must, this is all assorted biscuits, you understood? So, proper Mari biscuit, for example, they assorted biscuits, you know what I mean? Mm. So, like that. So, to me, you understand, this also, it smacks of, you understand, that we don't understand this deen of Islam, they were behaving like this and all that. So, if they don't speak your tal, what is there? I mean, you must look at, you understand, that, you know, people's habits, this, that. But you can't make it a priority in your life. You must remember this type of things. I mean, when I came from Karachi, and I just told my mom, I want to get married, and I'm tired of all this Pakistan food. And else. We used to eat that gravy with the hair of the animal inside. What are you talking, you understood? And I used to have $1,000 in my pocket. I say, I want time, I get to study, man, just eat quietly, you understand? But it takes it all, you know? I say, now I must get married because I have to go back. So there's no time to waste and all that. So my mother, she used to, Allah give Jannat. Father, you don't speak about all the mother. Say, he's Arya, this one. I say, we always serve our wages. Say, that you tell me I was getting married to him. She got 10, you understand, bangles on her hand and 6 bangles. If I have to buy 1 bangle, then the whole wages will be gone. You understood? So she just laughed, you see. Say, what you want? I say, I want a very poor lady and I don't want nobody to sit on my head. She must be pious. Allah gave, alhamdulillah. But I used to cry a lot by Baytullah, you see. So Allah gave. So Allah's help, everything happens, you must remember. Even till now, you must read, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. All these are secondary issues. So sometimes we make the secondary issues the main issue. Understand? We make the issues into tissues. We make the tissues into issues. That's our problem. You must remember that.
Mufti Saab, a couple says that we got married, Mufti Saab, and we must admit that we were dating before, but now we have come to our realization and the guilt has settled in. But are we doomed forever now, or can we correct and undo things?
No. MashaAllah, we all commit sins. No one of us is an angel that we all committed sins and are committing sins. So Allah gave you the answer, my sister, my brother. You were dating, you were smooching, you were doing this, you got married, now you got children, all that. So you're not doomed forever. Quran says you must go to Surah 39, chapter 39, verse 53. Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim la taqnatu min rahmatillah. You see that? So Allah says, my beloved servants. You must know how to translate it. Not my servants, my beloved servants. Asrafu ala anfusihim. You went beyond the limits. You see that? La taqnatu. Never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. You understood? La taqnatu min rahmatillah. From the mercy of Allah. Allah is arhamur rahimin, the most merciful one to show mercy. Then the same next sentence Allah says in the same verse, chapter 39, verse 53, La taqnatu min rahmatillah, inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Verily Almighty Allah forgives all the sins. Allah is saying He's going to forgive all the sins. But we have to ask tawbah. So how we know our tawbah is accepted? We don't repeat those vices in future. You see that? So that is the meaning of tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha. So go and read, my sister, there in the 24th Supara, 24th Juz, chapter 39 and verse 53, you will find it. While I'm answering, one thought is coming, so let me just speak about it. You see, now we came from Heidelberg. Heidelberg is a sleepy town, you know, it's too small, little time, dorpy. Then there's no high school there, so we used to travel from Heidelberg to Binoni, go there. And you see this Firoz Kachalia, he's going to become our minister. So we were in the same class and all that. Yeah, William Hills. And he even remember me. We ordered him hotels, big shots, like, you know, in political circles. So anyway, so I used to have long, long hair. You understood? But from young, I'm wearing spectacles. So my father would never, whatever I want, he just buy for me. He used to like me too much. So I used to wear the round glasses, you know, the round ones like this. And I had long hair. So now we to read Jummah Salat there in William Hill School. So that, but a lot of people, they knew that this guy is a Hafiz. Understood? So when I'm going to the Musalla, just say Musalla, the class we're going to read Jummah. So we have a big crowd, over 50, 60, 70, you know, guys duck and dive and all that. So when I used to go, then the woman, the girls used to stand there. 8, 10 girls. Hey, John Lennon, you know that. So that I just look away. I feel so shy. You understand now? I'm supposed to be Amisab a little bit, and these girls are making John Lennon here and all this time because I wear their spectacles. You see, so you see, temptation comes all the time. That's the thing. Inna kaida kunna azim. And that's where we are failing today, and this type of things. We're not Yusuf alayhi salam. Anybody can fall anytime. Remember that. So therefore, always read this. Allahumma hassin farji. Allahumma. Nowadays, I went now, Baba, you can see him. How many hair I got on my head?
I can't see a single one.
I went to the Baba, I said, Bilal sabni kalo, mi darban jaro. They say, oh. So in the ending, I told my wife also. I said, Bilal bhai said, he made me look so young that I can take a second wife also. He said, itne jawan lag rahe ki dusri biwi. So I said, main biwi ko kahunga. You see that? Like that it is. They also joke with me and I also joke with them, you see. So like that it is. Like that. So I went now and said, nah, I don't like the hair. You understood? Say, nah, Ali say, aday tu rasi, aday tu rasi. That I hate this hair of mine. Why? I heard Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, when you take ghusl and few hair get left dry, then big problem. Your ghusl won't be valid, your salat won't be valid. He said, tahta kulli sha'aratin janaba. You see, open mishkat, you will find it. Under every head is impurity, you see that? So now we have to keep love. That then was our style, like, you know what I mean? It's a stage you go through, you know? So now we come from the farm and we're a little bit free now, you see, and this type of things. So we just, and school used to allow it also. No teacher said you must come. Make. Like Darul me, I was very strict. These students, they come in my class and they say, you go cut your hair, don't make. So there in Karachi now, we were there by Mufti Sahib, there was one teacher, so Muhammad Abdul Qayyum Sahib. So he was very strict. So we Afriki Tulaba, you know, South Africa, they call us Afriki. So he looked at me and said, hey, tum, baal kal kar, aaj kata do, varna kal me mar mar kar dumba bana dunga. That was his words. I'll give you such a hiding, I'll make you like a goat and sheep, you know. So I went and made everything shortcut. It was a nice long hair I had and all these type of things. Yeah. So certain words, so I tell Mufti something. I say, Mahal Abduka, you na you farmaya. So he started laughing, you see, long time. So in 74, 75, all that, yeah. So it happens like that, you see.
Mufti Sahib, when we get married and all these, as soon as the nikah, everything takes place, then the men and the woman folk of the family, they all come to the girl side of the family and then they cry outside and they must pay money. Is there any basis for this?
All this is rasam and riwaj, is culture. It got nothing to do with Islam. Sometimes they don't want to feed the people food. They say, you must pay first. You the groom, you must pay. So what you have to pay now? You already paid the mahar. It's all our. So Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he wrote one book. This was one of the first books he wrote. And he's written there, Islahur Rusum. You understood? How to bring about reformation in all these customs, traditions that are against Islam. So these are things with nothing to do with Islam. They watch too much all those Bollywood movies, you know, our woman and all that. So now they in the Indian movie, there must be somebody crying and you know this and all that. So all the Hati Marasati business, you know. So all this is all not permissible, shaitani business, all that. Crying is understood, now the parents cry and all that. When my sisters got married, you see, I'm the last guy to get married now. Two brothers, they all got married, I'm the youngest. So I bumped into my father and I looked at him, you know. At that time, you're very, like, you understand, naive. And when they kicked us out, hey, yo, kuli, khanadi kuli. I got happy. We went to a new house, new shop. And I looked at my parents, they're crying. I said, something not right here, you know. So for us, now what? We, from a clock house, we went to a smart house. You know how it is and this type of thing. So then you realize, no, the big things going on here. You see that they are uprooting us because of our color and complexion and blankers and knee blankers, whites and non-whites, you see. So when my sister got married, I saw my father crying, you know. Then you realize, you understood how difficult it is. You brought up your daughter 15, 20 years, 22 years, 25 years, and now you're just giving it over. You understood? What will happen? You don't know. Hammul banat, you must always remember the saying, Yumana Zahidam Barakatum. Hammul bamat, hammul banat, ilal mamat. The worry of the daughters is right till the time you pass away or they pass away. Because why? Will they get a good spouse? Will they have good children? Will everything work out? Mother in law, daughter in law? 101 issues will come in. You understood? So, you know, we told you, Vakubarinda. You see, that happens, you see. So, that is the thing. So, you must, that's why special dua and tarbiyat is required also. See, olden days, I tell you, Olden days, the parents would tell the daughter, Beti, you're getting married, so you must go stay nicely there with your husband, stay nicely with your in-laws, and make sure your janaza comes out from that house. Your janaza don't have to come out from this house. Today, who will give that advice? I'm asking you, Mausai. Today, today's parents, I'm speaking generally now, when I say this, I mean majority. They tell the daughter, if that mother-in-law, father-in-law talk nonsense, you must just tell me, accelerate, I'll fix them up. So what the hell are you doing? You understand? You're sending your daughter already with a negative frame of mind. So how she's going to look up to that mother-in-law, father-in-law and call them, you know, uncle or Masi or whatever, you understand? I used to call my father-in-law Hadisab and mother-in-law I call Masi, you see, like that. But you look at them with love and respect and how much dua they used to make. You understand? She was blind and I know how much dua she used to make. But now, we send our children out with negativity. I mean, that beats me, you know. How you can do that? You're already adopting a defeatist attitude. Islam never allows this type of thing. Ana akunu ala dhanni abdi bi. It's sahih hadith, authentic hadith, Mishkat Mustad Ahmed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Allah ta'ala says that I will treat my servant as he or she thinks of me. These are things we must teach them. Last one.
Mufti Sahib, with regards to selection of the spouse, what is the procedure and does everything have to match or can some things, do we have certain choices?
Allah ta'ala made everything different. Worse then, not everything was matched now. So there's diversity in unity and so forth. The rain come and you see the grass is green, the roses are red, the flowers are pink and blue and what and what and all. So things will differ. You can't be everything same and same. So in life, you must agree to disagree. You understand? That is there. But not disagree on everything now and so forth and so on. I told you all the main thing is the aqidah and the belief structure. And you must remember that the thing is about, that is, the thing is you must have the good character and you must be, you know, considerate. And see, last message I'll leave you because you're going for news and all that. And Mausaid will read this thing or the programs. You as the husband always realize how much sacrifice she made. She left her parents' place, she left her siblings, she left her place of her birth to spend the remainder of her life with you. Is that a small sacrifice or a big sacrifice?
Big sacrifice.
A very, very big sacrifice. So always appreciate that, remember that.
From us and the team, we say Jazakumullah Khairah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voices of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jamaah.